God has been leading me to simple, familiar passages of Scripture to deliver messages that are very simple, but often are forgotten in the process of living. Luke 14 and 15, "And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And everybody said, Amen.
Amen.
"Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." And reading out of the King James is my pattern from the scripture text. "And they all with one consent began to make excuse." Now let me back up. Did you notice I skipped a verse?
Yeah.
If you notice I skipped a verse, raise your finger. Good job. The rest of you, go back to sleep. "Said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant," when? "To say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are read." When?
Now.
When?
Now.
Now I'm going to read the rest of these verses in a moment, but I just want to stop there for a minute and say, when God calls you, He is ready. Now. That's not what I'm supposed to preach today, but it would preach, but amen, Brother Batchelor? Good to have you all here this morning. Good to have all the rest of you. All of you beautiful ladies. All of you ugly, pimple-faced, knuckle-headed men that came this morning with those beautiful ladies. You all just be thankful this morning God let you sit next to something so pretty.
Hallelujah.
If you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. When God calls you, He is ready now. How many times do we miss the opportunities that God puts in our path because we think this and we think that and we think to ourselves in a time convenient, as the writer records for us in Acts. A time convenient, I will call you. There is no more convenient time than the time that God chooses to be the time. Those times are in His hands. The time is in His hands. Matter of fact, He created time before He created the planets. Because time does not resist the desire of the tick-tock of the planetary systems. Time resides in the hands of God. Your time and my time is in His hands. And so when God calls us, it's His time. And if it's His time, it's your time. And to belabor or to delay. Thank God for angels that grab us by the nape of the neck sometimes and yank us into the will of God. Thus many of us have been destroyed a long time ago with the wicked. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife. Anybody got a good excuse? This boy right here does. And therefore, I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Why was the servant bidden to go out quickly? Because supper was ready. And bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. See, God is not looking for your qualifications. He's looking for your availability. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Almost seems as though it was never God's intention to just call his friends. But he always calls his friends first. And the Lord said unto the servant, in verse 23 of Luke 14, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste my supper. The title of our message this morning is Making Room for God. I have already said this, but I will mention it quickly. Let me digress. We received an invitation. We've been receiving an invitation from the Clemenses for years. I was reminded of that probably once for every year that they've invited me for camping out west. It didn't bother me. I enjoyed the life. But I was informed of some restrictions to our travel, that I would only be allowed to bring a certain amount of things. And furthermore, those containers that those things would be brought in were also stringently addressed with exact measurements. And we had detailed conversations about peanut butter and rice and things of that sort, meals and all of that. And but I was so excited to go on this trip, which is the kind of thing that I like to do, get out in nature and camp and hike. I really like to hike. I do enjoy doing that. And wanting the kids to go out and see some things. And the problem, of course, has always been that there's never been any room for this type of vacation in our family schedule. But some room had been made this summer because Stacy, being away in Chicago at school, would not be here. And so that created some room in our schedule. And I had a lot of fun shopping on Amazon, all over the internet, for different types of gear and things. If you don't know me, then you might not understand that very well. But I love to research things out, and bought new camping chairs. And of course, I had to get a new backpack. And of course, all three camping chairs fit in my backpack, because you only have room for so much stuff. And the Clemens could have only seen my little manipulative brain, figuring how I could rework things and pack what I needed to pack, what I wanted to pack. A lot of things had to get left behind. A lot of things got left behind that we didn't take. But lo and behold, everything that we brought fit. And we even had room for a few souvenirs. Kind of got a little pile up, but we went on this vacation and had a great time. And my favorite word for the vacation is epic. And what a tremendous joy on this journey that we are taking with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is limited space and availability. You can't take everything on this journey. The gate is narrow. The way is straight. You can only bring with you what you absolutely need. And Jesus is inviting us to be a part of His life. He is inviting us to be a part of His life, and He to be a part of ours. And even the Old Testament prophets proclaimed these things, that come unto me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. To the disciples, He said, take up your cross. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus, and all throughout the generations, has been about inviting us to be a part of His life, and He to be a part of ours, to go on this journey called life, this beginning parts of the journey, this adjustments and preparation and research time, and to journey with Him into eternity. And I don't think I need to belabor that point and bring many, many scriptures, but there is a call, an invitation that goes out to every single man, woman, and boy, and girl in this world. The whole entire world is being invited to this feast, to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. I want to be a part of what God is doing in the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church, in the United Pentecostal Church, in the greater mystical body of Christ, the church at large across the globe, in Wayne County in Fairfield, Illinois. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I don't want to make excuses, and I don't want to turn my back and pull my shoulder away at His invitations, but I want to be a part. I want to accept this invitation. But in order for that to happen, you see, our lives are filled with many, many things. I remember years ago talking to a friend of mine, missionary's son, and he had married a young lady who had been in my youth group when I was a teenager. She was a little pudgy girl. And he married her when she grew up, and they had met once or twice when they were kids. At the time, his father was pastoring in New Jersey, and we were discussing some things. And you know me, I just say what comes to my mind. And when I'm quiet, you really are scared because you have no idea what's going through my mind. And guaranteed, something's going through my mind. And my years of wisdom are saying, don't say that. Amen? And we were discussing some things, and they were preparing to fill in aid work for a deputizing missionary who was also a relation of his. And going to take the whole family over there, wife and his two daughters. And I remember him going into this detailed account of how he was raising money for his trip, talking about setting up a website. This has been many years ago, and getting donations and doing all these things. And I was there on invitation to preach and preach the service. And we were just chit-chatting, and I made some casual comments. And you know me, I'm kind of I have a painful sense of humor. If you've ever been close to me, than a close friend or spent intimate time with me, you know that I have a painful sense of humor. And often interspersed with scripture, often interspersed with my understanding of your quirks and your personality issues, and to have a way of saying things disguised as humor that are very serious, and sometimes unbeknownst to me how powerful they can be. Sometimes we don't realize the ministry that we have and what God does with it. And I said some things to him about trusting in the Lord and letting God provide for his needs and other such common scriptures that we are aware of. And I found out later, he got back in contact with me, that he was convicted by what I said, and which was not my intention, but sometimes God just puts things into our heads and puts things into our hearts to say that touches a nerve, that helps to direct people back on track.
That's right.
And he did go, his wife, his daughters, and they did become AIM workers, filling in the mission field. And today, he is a pastor of a home missions church that he started in New Jersey. Our lives are filled with many, many, many things. To the point where, in order to make room for God, in order to make room for the new things that may come to us and opportunities that may come our way, we have got to get rid of some other things. Disciples could never have followed Jesus until they got rid of their nets. The beggar man could not have received his blind healing until he got rid of his beggar's cloak. The lame man could have not ever been healed until he picked up his bed and left his place of comfort and familiarity. Zacchaeus had to give up part of his fortune in order to make room for Jesus in his life. And others, presented with such things, turned away as the rich young ruler, sorrowfully refusing to let go of nothing to obtain everything. When Elijah walked by the field where young Elisha was plowing, the Bible says he cast his mantle on him, and the Bible says that Elisha took his yoke of oxen and he killed them, slaughtered them. And he cut up the yoke and he cut up the till and he lit a fire and he cooked his future. On an open flame, he roasted his future and his livelihood. And he celebrated with his family and friends, and he turned his back on his family, he turned his back on his friends, he turned his back on his livelihood and his future, and he made room in his life for God. And after years of chasing the prophet Elijah around, the only thing that he had left to show for it was an old prophet's cape. When he came to the Jordan rivers that they had so shortly passed over, he found out that all he needed was the cape. He found out that beyond the cape, that he had more than what he thought he had accumulated during those years of chasing the prophet around. By his word, by his power, the works of God were manifested through his life. We have to make room for God. We cannot be saved unless we make room When we're full of sin, there is no room for God. And so when we come to an altar, what are we doing? We are making room for God. We lay our sins and we unburden ourselves with weights and we lay them and cast them on the Lord. And as we make room for Him, then He fills us up with good things and He fills us up with His Spirit. And the more that we empty ourselves out and the more we empty out of ourselves, the more that God in turn fills us up with the things that He has for us. And literally, in some kind of spiritual, metaphysical sense, that the love of God itself is literally permeates our lives. We need to make room for Jesus. It's a simple word for us today, but I felt it strongly. We need to make room for Jesus. Jesus walked to the well of Samaria. He had an appointment that he had to keep with a woman. He spoke with this woman and there was words exchanged. We find out that this woman is filled up. She's filled up with many things. She's filled up with lust and sins. She's filled up with prejudices. And she's filled up with theologies. Folk theologies, if you will. In the process of one conversation, she had to let go of her prejudice against the Jews. Other cultural prejudices that were so prominent still to this day are in that region of the world. She had to let go of her lust and her sinfulness. And she had to let go of her theologies. God replaced her lust and her prejudice and her folk theologies with an evangelistic spirit that turned the hearts of the men of an entire ungodly pagan city. And it wasn't but a short time later, as time flies, that we find Philip the evangelist preaching in the same place. Peter and John laying hands on him, miracles and signs and wonders, and the Holy Ghost falling after the day of Pentecost and the ascension of Christ. One woman made room for Jesus in her life, and it set the stage for a revival that swept what I believe is now modern day. You would call them Palestinians or in that area, those type of peoples. And hear what I'm saying, but this is not just a group of people. This is not just rednecks or Northeasterners or Asians or this or that. We're talking about the area where today there is such a vehement terrorist activity. We're talking about an area today that is so filled with hatred and killing. And bombs and explosions are going off today. Children are dying. Some of them being butchered is going on in that area. We're not just talking about God going in and saving a group of backslid Jews. We're not just talking about God going in and saving a group of semi-religious people and pulling them out of their backslidden state. We're talking about God going into a place that is so ate up with prejudice and hatred that they will kill you and they will torture you and abuse you. And then even in your death, they will take your dead body and make a mockery. And even turn your children into slaves. Jesus walked to that well. And one woman made room for what he had to do and swept that whole city. They all made excuses. as to why they could not fit the king's son's wedding celebration into their schedules. They all made excuses, that it may even have been that the guy that was married had an excuse. Because the scripture doesn't specifically call that an excuse there, does it? But it does say they all made excuses. There was no room for the celebrations, the victories, and the joys of God in their lives. We need to make room for Jesus. We need to make room for His works. We need to make room for His presence, and we need to make room for His gifts to operate in our lives. I was sitting down talking to a friend the other day, and I'm not preaching at you today, but I'm just talking about the realities that we deal with. If you watch a two-hour movie, that's 120 minutes. Every minute has 120 seconds in it. Every movie that you... Oh, 60 seconds, that's right. Thank you, Brother Davis. That's good, brother. See? There we go. 120 minutes, 60 seconds a minute. And most average media is 30 pictures per second. In 2 hours, you will literally bombard your brain with over 200,000 pictures. You know how fast that is? It's this fast. You know, this is your brain on television. Right? And we go to bed, and what do? You know, we're stabbing people. Gentlemen, start your engines. Start up, you know. Prepare for glory. You know, we're with our dreams. We're just doing it, you know. We need to make room for God in our lives. The Bible says that your young men will what? And your old men will what? You want me to tell you what old is? I started having Holy Ghost dreams several years ago, so I can tell you that the threshold is much lower than what you think. The way the church is supposed to work is when a sinner walks in the door, the Holy Spirit will move in the body of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit will operate. And every hidden dark thing in a person's life will be revealed. That person will say, God is in this church. And they will make a decision either to make room or to walk out that door and be amazed but never change. That's the way the church is designed to operate. That's the way it's always operated. Even when it was backslid, it operated that way. Prophets who were captured and made slaves and lived in pagan cities and nations and were trained in pagan schools and did not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's still the way God operated. And pagan kings of old bowed their knees to the God of Israel because the gifts of God's Spirit worked through the men and women of God. And we should expect nothing less than that in the church of the living God. We should expect nothing less from our God who never changes. We should expect that and so much more. But in order for those things to happen, God gave us a little word for the church today. In order for those things to happen, we need to make room for God. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's not even room for God in church. I've got to play my bass. I've got to sing my song. I've got to tune my guitar. I've got to keep the beat. I've got to prepare for my class. I have Bible verses that need to be memorized. We have crafts to make. We have snacks to give out. We have communions to remember. We have preachers got to preach. Papers have to be handed out. PowerPoints have to be presented. All these things have to happen. And God never even enters into the picture. When we make room for God in the church, the program may get turned on its ear. When we make room for God in our there's not even room for God in our prayer closets. God, I need this. God, would you do that? God, help me with this. And sometimes I get sick of my own prayers when I go to the prayer closets. How many years do you have to pray? How many years do you have to preach to know that God's working in you and you know what you know and you can just get up there and do it? Why do you got to keep on praying about it? Oh God, give me a word to speak to the congregation. What a waste of prayer time. Now that messes with your theology, doesn't it? I tell you, I kid you not, there are times I walk into the prayer closet and immediately within the first 30 seconds, I have a word from God. I did not ask for it. I did not pray for it. I made room for God in my schedule. I didn't have to beg God for a word. I didn't have to search the high, the heavens, and low. And then God just, I made room for Him. And He filled me up with the things that He wants to share. If I just shut up long enough, if I just take some time and talk about how awesome He is and praise Him, and maybe just speak in tongues, God forbid, for a little while in my prayer closet, amen, where the Holy Spirit is bringing praises out of me. God, I make room for Him, and He fills me up. And I'm back in the prayer closet and thinking about the service and I'm focusing on you and not on me. And God just keeps filling it up. Just keeps filling it up. Just keeps filling it up. And you get in the pulpit and you start preaching. God just starts filling it up more. And He gives you more. And He gives you more. Amen. But it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. We have to take the Word. We have to do something with it. Amen. We have got to change the way we think. That's called repentance, by the way. We've got to change the way that we live. Amen. We've got to put our brains on a diet. Amen. Everybody's worried about what they weigh and what their health is like. And maybe you should be. But I think we need to be worried about the health of our spiritual life. Amen. Sometimes I think we need to put our flesh on a diet. Amen. We need to put some things under subjection. Amen. We need to bring our bodies under subjection. Amen. We need to stop letting the body have the rule and reign over our lives. We need to stop letting our families have the rule and reign over our lives. We need to stop letting our jobs and our bills and our bosses have the rule and reign over our lives. We need to stop letting denominations and programs and callings and mission, all these things have the rule and reign over our lives to the point where there is no longer room for God to do what He wants to do. There's no longer room for God to speak a word of faith in our hearts. And let me tell you something, when God speaks a word of faith and when He calls you about something that He has prepared, amen, He is ready now. Amen. Woo! He's ready now to work a miracle. Amen. Not after you have a 24-hour prayer chain. Amen. Not after you pray for 40 hours. Not after days and nights and weeks of fasting. God's ready now when He moves on you with a word of faith. It's because He wants to do it. He's ready to do it. And all we need to do is take a little bit of time and let God in the picture. Thank you. Satan, amen, to bring down the kingdom of darkness and release the captives of hell. All he needed was an old stinky barn. And all he needed out of that barn, amen, was a little old wooden manger with some stinky winter hay in it. That's all he needed. He didn't need a lot of room. He didn't have to rearrange the furniture. He didn't need to rent out, amen, the presidential suite on the top penthouse floor of the biggest skyscraper in Jerusalem. All he needed, amen, was enough room for a little baby to be born. Amen. A whole entire movement. Amen. A whole entire church. Amen. Was brought to life. Amen. Where millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people have become the followers of this one named Jesus. Amen. And there are untold billions, amen, with that opportunity to make their decisions. All he needed was for somebody to make a little bit of room. Let's stand together this morning. Jeremiah said, my own words, if you'll make room for God in your life, He'll fill you up and He'll satisfy your soul with good things. In the parable, Jesus said the intention of the king, of the most embarrassing things that could happen to a great ruler at the marriage of his son, was for there to be empty seats. It is and has always been the will of God to fill things up. The Bible says the whole earth full of His glory. And when He saves us and removes sin from our lives, the Bible says He fills us up with His Spirit. Sign of a half-filled church is oftentimes a sign of a church filled with people who are filled up with all other things than the things of God. Of a church that doesn't have time for God in the program. If it doesn't convict your spirit this morning, then I don't think anything will. God, fill the altars. God, fill the baptistry. God, fill the offering plates. God, fill our mouths with powerful prayers. And fill our mouths with words of prophecy. And knowledge and wisdom and tongues and interpretation of tongues. Fill our hearts with humility and love and patience and kindness and gentleness. Fill our mouths with praise. God wants to save us. He wants to save our spouses. He wants to save our children. He wants to save our extended family, our parents and our grandparents, and anybody that we run into. He wants to save our co-workers. He wants to save the neighbors that live next to us on our streets. God wants to fill His church up. God wants to fill our lives up. Amen. God wants to overflow and move, amen, inside of us. All we need to do is make room for Him. Some of us don't even have 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day to sit down and read our Bibles. But we can sit there and go through 200,000 pictures just as though it was the blink of an eye. Some of us don't even have the gas to get out of our house and drive 4.5 minutes to the church. and spend a few minutes seeking the face of God. We can run all over the place, and we can shop in this town and shop in that town. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing those things. I'm just saying, if we got time for everything else, how can we say that we don't have time for God? We need to make some room in our lives. And if you'll trade your nothing this morning, God will fill in its void everything. Let's bow our heads together. This altar is open. There's some that need to come.